and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. at Memorial Hall, UNC Chapel Hill. That's Thursday night, March 1st. And Friday and Saturday nights, March 2nd and 3rd at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This concert will be conducted by guest conductor Domingo Hindoyan. The guest soloist is cellist Johannes Moser. The program on this performance will include the following: the Cello Concerto in B minor by Antonín Dvořák, and that will be followed by the Symphony No. 5 by Sergei Prokofiev. Now begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, some background about the guest conductor and then the guest cellist. Starting in September 2019, Domingo Hindoyan will serve as principal guest conductor of the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra for an initial period of 3 seasons. In the current season, Hindoyan conducts symphony orchestras such as the Dresden Philharmonic, the Hamburg Symphony, Orchestra National de Bordeaux Aquitaine, Orchestra Nationale de Belgique, and Melmer Symphony Orchestra. Equally busy on the opera stage, he makes his debut at the Metropolitan Opera with L'Elisir d'Amore, Opera Stuttgart with Tosca, and Opera di Monte Carlo with I Puritani. He returns to the Staatsoper Berlin to conduct La Traviata and Orfeo ed Eurydice. Recent highlights include engagements with Orchestra Nationale de France, the Philharmonia Orchestra, Mozarteum Orchester Salzburg, the Orchestra Philharmonique de Luxembourg, Deutsche Radio Philharmonie, Saarbrücken Kaiserslautern, the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra, Simon Bolivar Symphony Orchestra, and new productions at both Opera Nationale de Lorraine and Bergen National Opera. In 2012, he was invited to join the Allianz International Conductors Academy, where he worked with the London Philharmonic Orchestra and the Philharmonia Orchestra. In 2013, he was appointed as the first assistant to Daniel Barenboim at the Staatsoper in Berlin. Domingo Hindoyan was born in Caracas, Venezuela. He began his music studies as a violinist and member of the renowned Venezuelan musical education program El Sistema. He went on to study conducting at the Haute École de Musique de Genève. Now, Johannes Moser, the guest cellist on this performance with the North Carolina Symphony. German-Canadian cellist Johannes Moser has performed with orchestras such as the Berliner Philharmoniker, New York Philharmonic, London Symphony Orchestra, Tokyo's NHK Symphony Orchestra, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and the Cleveland Orchestra. He recently won his third Echo Classic Award as Instrumentalist of the Year in 2017 for cello. His many recordings include the Dvorak Cello Concerto, and he recently returned to the studio to record Lutoslavsky and Dutilo's concertos. In 2017 and 18 season, return engagements include the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Orchestra de Suisse Romande, Tonehall Orchestra Zurich, Los Angeles Philharmonic, and the Symphonies of Seattle and San Diego. With his newly formed piano trio with Yevgeny Sudbin and Vadim Glusman, Moser will tour Europe and North America. A dedicated chamber musician, he has performed with Joshua Bell, Emmanuel Lax, and Midori, among others. He is also a regular at festivals. Moser has been involved in commissioning works by Julia Wolf, Ellen Reed, Thomas Agerfield Olson, Johannes Kalitsky, Jelena Fersoa, and Andrew Norman. In 2011, he premiered Magnetar for electric cello by Enrico Ciappelli with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. In the following season, he continued this relationship, performing Michael van der Aa's cello concerto entitled Up Close. Born into a musical family in 1979, Johannes Moser began studying the cello at the age of eight. He was the top prize winner at the 2002 Tchaikovsky competition, in addition to being awarded the special prize. In 2014, he was awarded the Brahms Prize. A voracious reader of everything from Kafka to Collins and an avid outdoorsman, he is a keen hiker and mountain biker in what little spare time he has. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this series of concerts is the Cello Concerto in B Minor, Opus 104, by Antonín Dvořák. Dvořák was born September 8, 1841, near Prague, and he died May 1, 1904, also in Prague. The work was composed in 1894 and 1895, and the first performance, March 19, 1896, in London, conducted by the composer with Leo Stern as the soloist. Now, here is the overview. During the 3 years that Dvořák was teaching at the National Conservatory of Music in New York City, he was subject to the same emotions as most other travelers away from home for a long time: invigoration and homesickness. America served to stir his creative energies, and during his stay from 1892 to 1895, he composed some of his greatest scores, the New World Symphony, the Opus 96 Quartet, and the Cello Concerto. He was keenly aware of the new musical experiences to be discovered in the land far from his beloved Bohemia when he wrote, "The musician must prick up his ears for music. When he walks, he should listen to every whistling boy, every street singer or organ grinder. I myself am so often fascinated by these people that I can scarcely tear myself away." But he missed his home, and while he was composing the cello concerto, looked eagerly forward to returning. He opened his heart in a letter to a friend in Prague. "Now I am finishing the finale of the cello concerto. If I could work as free from cares as at Vysoka, the site of his country home, it would have been finished long ago. Oh, if only I were in Vysoka again." Now, here's what to listen for. The opening movement is in sonata form, with both themes presented by the orchestra before the entry of the soloist. The first theme is heard immediately in the clarinets, one of the most beautiful melodies ever composed for the horn, is how the esteemed English musicologist Sir Donald Tovey described the major key second theme. Ottokar Schürek, the composer's biographer, described the second movement as a hymn of deepest spirituality and amazing beauty. It is in three-part form, ABA. A touching bit of autobiography is attached to the composition of this movement. While working on its middle section, Dvořák learned that his sister-in-law, Josefina Kautenzova, who had aroused in him a secret passion early in his life, was seriously ill. He showed his concern by using one of her favorite pieces in the central portion of this adagio, his own song, "Let Me Wander Alone with My Dreams," Opus 82, number 1. She died a month after he returned to Prague in 1895, so he revised the finale to include another reference to the same song, producing the autumnal slow section just before the end of the work. The finale is a rondo of dance-like nature. Following the second reprise of the theme, the andante section recalls both the first theme of the opening movement and Josefina's melody from the second. A brief and rousing restatement of the rondo theme, led by the brass, closes this majestic concerto. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: solo cello, piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, three horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 5 in B-flat major, Opus 100, by Sergei Prokofiev. Born April 23, 1891, in Sanszokva, Russia, and he died March 5, 1953, in Moscow. Composed in 1944, the first performance of the Symphony No. 5 was January 12, 1945, in Moscow, conducted by the composer himself. Now, here is the overview. In the Fifth Symphony, I wanted to sing the praises of the free and happy man, his strength, his generosity, and the purity of his soul. I cannot say I chose this theme. It was born in me and had to express itself. The man that Prokofiev invoked in this description of the philosophy embodied in this great symphony could well have been the composer himself. The work was written in the summer of 1944, one of the happiest times he knew. His home life, following marriage to his second wife 4 years earlier, was contented and fulfilling. He was the most famous and often performed of all Soviet composers, and Russia was winning World War II. In fact, the success of the premiere of this work was buoyed by the announcement immediately before the concert that the Russian army had just scored a resounding victory on the River Vistula. The composer's mind was reflected in the fluency and emotional depth of his music. Prokofiev never hinted that there was a program underlying the Fifth Symphony, except to say that it is a symphony about the spirit of man. During the difficult years of the war, Soviet music, according to Boris Schwartz, was meant to console and uplift, to encourage and exhort. Nothing else mattered. Though some, like Martin Buxband, find ominous threats of brutal warfare lurking beneath the surface of Prokofiev's music, there's really nothing here to match such symphonies born of the violence of war as Shostakovich's Seventh Symphony and Vaughan Williams' Fourth Symphony. Rather, it is a work that reflects the composer's philosophy after he returned to Russia in the 1930s from many years of living in Western Europe and America. In his 1946 autobiographical sketch, he wrote, "It is the duty of the composer, like the poet, the sculptor, or the painter, to serve his fellow men, to beautify human life, and point the way to a radiant future. Such is the immutable code of art as I see it." Now here's what to listen for. The symphony's opening movement is a large sonata form in moderate tempo that begins without introduction. The wide-ranging main theme is presented simply by flute and bassoon before being taken up by the strings. Flute and oboe sing the lyrical second theme. Two brief motives close the exposition. One, characterized by its dotted rhythms, arrives on the crest of the movement's first climax. The other is an angular fragment tossed off by high woodwinds, violins, and cellos. The development gives prominence in its first portion to the opening theme and the skittish motive from the end of the composition. It later focuses on the second theme and the arc-shaped complementary melody. The recapitulation is heralded by the stentorian sounds of the brass choir announcing the main theme. The second movement, Scherzo, is one of those pieces that Prokofiev would have classified as motoric. An incessant two-note rhythmic motive drives the music forward through its entire first section. The movement's central section is framed by a bold, strutting phrase from the woodwinds, adorned with the piquant, long notes that spice so much of Prokofiev's quick music. The brooding third movement is in a large three-part design. The outer sections are supported by the deliberate rhythmic tread of the low instruments used as underpinning for a plaintive melody initiated by the clarinets. A sweeping theme begun by the tuba serves as the basis for the middle section. The finale opens with a short introduction comprising two gestures based on the main theme of the first movement, a short woodwind phrase answered by the strings, and a chorale for cellos. The main body of the movement is a sonata rondo structure propelled by an insistent rhythmic motive. The movement accumulates a large amount of thematic material as it progresses, though it is the solo clarinet playing the main theme which begins each of the important structural sections of the form. A furious, energetic coda ignites several of the movement's themes into a grand closing blaze of orchestral color. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: the piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, E-flat clarinet, two clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, piano, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Dr. Richard E. Rota. You've been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the entire concert season. I'm George Douglas. I thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.